Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenge. Today's Tuesday, so it's the day in our daily rhythm where we explore in the Bible our topic. And this week's topic we've been exploring is about reset the family. How following Jesus resets our views of what family is all about. We talked yesterday about those who see family as an end unto itself, a family dynasty and things like that. And how family can become an object of worship, an idol, that can lead to a fair bit of destruction in our lives. You can imagine a mother who lives for her child, has great dreams about what he's going to be and do, and that becomes the sole reason for her existence. If that son fails to meet expectations, if he chooses a radically different life path than what she had hoped for, you can imagine the devastation. It wouldn't be contained to simply her parenting or to raising a child who has a life of his own. Rather, it would become all-consuming. It would become a failure of her life, not just a failure of his or a failure of his meeting expectations. This is a danger sign for us. When something in life that we do or have suddenly becomes the reason for our existence or the reason for our failure. So what's the solution to this? Does it mean that we shouldn't have family at all, or shouldn't love our family, or shouldn't care for their needs, or want the best for them? No. Author Tim Keller has some helpful words on this. He said, "If we have made idols of work and family, we do not want to stop loving our work and family. Rather, we want to love Christ so much more that we are not enslaved by our attachments." You can see this being expressed really well in Paul's letter to Timothy, a letter in the Bible that Paul wrote to his protege. And he was describing some of the requirements of a leader in the church. "If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's people?" Well, right here in this passage, you can see how God wants his church to be managed by those who can manage a household well. In some ways, the church is a place for practicing what it means to follow Jesus. It's a place to learn how to follow Jesus in a small community before anyone could ever imagine leading followers of Jesus in a larger community called a church. You can see this right where Paul says, "If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church?" In some ways, the family is a miniature church. One Christian who lived about 500 years ago, Martin Luther, said the following about that. "A house is actually a school and a church, and the head of the household is a pastor in his house." The church becomes a place to learn the essentials of what it means to follow Jesus and to start practicing it, like we practice skills in school through worksheets and labs. The home is kind of a lab for following Jesus out in the world and as a larger church community. This is one of the reasons that I, as an Anglican minister, practice the baptism of children. I can see baptism not as graduation from a school, having learned everything about following Jesus, but rather as the beginning of a learning experience. That a child in a Christian family is going to be learning how to follow Jesus in a little miniature church. We're going to see tomorrow some of the promises that are made at baptism that definitely illuminate this. I'm going to tell you how that happened thousands of years ago in the book of Deuteronomy, how the Jewish people were told to make sure their faith was communicated from generation to generation. But then I'm going to ask you to think about it in today's question. But first, I'll tell you how they did it in ancient Israel. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You can see how in a Jewish family, these words, "love God first and foremost," were meant to be everywhere. A child was meant to go through their day encountering these words left and right. They could never forget them because they were on their foreheads, on their doorposts, on their wrists, being spoken as people traveled. These words were everywhere. In the same way, Christian families need to make sure that loving God and loving neighbor, following Jesus, are front and center and encountered by children and family members everywhere they go, in everything they do. What does that look like for your family? Here's our question today to consider. How do you think a family does this? What skills do you think are essential for Christians to learn, and how are they learned in the family? We'll have a great discussion. I hope you'll share our daily discussion questions with some friends from the train or bus, from work or from home. Wherever you meet with people, I hope you're discussing what you're learning in our challenges. Don't forget to read the Bible in sync. Find today's reading in our app or website. Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.